The Israeli and U.S. delegations have left the U.N. Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa. They are denouncing the language that's being proposed for the final declaration, language that condemns Israel for its treatment of Palestinians. In conjunction with that U.N. gathering, Morning Edition is broadcasting commentaries on the personal impact of racism. The most extreme example of racism is genocide. In the spring of 1994, more than 800,000 members of the Tutsi minority were killed in the Central African country of Rwanda by members of the Hutu majority. Commentator Louise Mushikiwabo is a Tutsi who left her family behind when she headed for the United States about 10 years before the massacres.
On the morning of April 7, 1994, the lives of all my relatives in Rwanda were hanging on a thin thread. I had just returned to Washington from a visit home. Now, people I had known as friends, neighbors, and even childhood playmates were hunting down my siblings like wild beasts. My brother Lando was a high-profile politician in the transitional government of Rwanda and the only Tutsi cabinet member at that time. His wife, their two children, and my mother were ruthlessly murdered by elements of the Rwandan Presidential Guard. The United Nations soldiers who guarded his house did not protect them. Another brother of mine, Karangwa, also was killed because he was a Tutsi. Witnesses told us he was killed by the mayor of the county in the suburbs of Kigali, where I grew up, who was my classmate from grade 1 through grade 6. Like many Rwandans after the genocide, my family and I tried to find out what happened to our relatives. Witnesses said the mayor went to my brother's house on April 7th at midday, accompanied by two young men. He was apparently carrying a gun and a walkie-talkie. Witnesses said he told my brother in a cold and sarcastic voice that the rest of our family had been given the proper treatment and that it was his turn. When my brother begged him to spare his life, the mayor told him that the young men wanted to kill him and that he had to respect the will of the people. My brother knew it was the end for him and asked him to please kill him with his gun instead of the machetes and clubs. The mayor told him that government bullets could not be wasted, that he should buy the bullets from him. My brother apparently took off his jacket and shook it to prove that he had no money on him, and two bills fell from the inside pocket. Witnesses told us the mayor picked up the money, pointed his gun to my brother's head, and shot him. The mayor was arrested sometime in 1996, returning from a refugee camp in the Congo. He is in jail awaiting trial. The Rwandan genocide is a tragedy that many people would rather forget because it is beyond comprehension. For my family, not forgetting is a way to honor our loved ones. It is not easy. We are living next door to potential killers of our families. Oddly enough, many times I have felt the need to reconcile with my neighbor and ask what went so wrong, but no one has asked me for forgiveness. I don't think there can ever be justice for genocide survivors, but for me, peace would be a reasonable price to pay for the loss of so many innocent lives.
The comments of Louise Mushikiwabo, a public relations consultant in Washington, D.C., and head of the Rwandan Children's Fund. There are more personal experiences of racism on the website npr.org.